Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a lively news-breaking Wednesday. We're in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Joel Klatt, some tasty college football coming up this weekend. Joy Taylor, who's got her serious look on today. Joy Taylor looks like the superintendent of a school district, and she's walking in to fire one of her teachers.
Ooh, I'm firing a teacher?
You're firing a teacher today. You look very...
Can you fire teachers like that?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have unions and
Maybe
stuff.
Maybe I'm like a...
Very...
I feel like an accountant.
You're very serious. You're a professional something.
I did very bad in accounting in college.
So, you know, Joy, you and I are not really hype fest people on the Cowboys. I think we both kind of view the Cowboys as, I always say, they're good, they're fine. This is very interesting. I really like this move. And I've talked about this before. When an owner gets older, they want to win. And they may change their worldview on football. Jerry Jones always been very emotional. He loves his players. One of my complaints has been for 2 years, they overpay. They pay good players great money. So yesterday, they released Jalen Smith. Now, they're on the hook for his contract this year, but not on the hook for his contract $9 million next year. This is very important. First of all, this is why the NFL is great. You don't get trapped with players. They draft Micah Parsons. He's a sensational talent. You have Van Der Esch, Neal from Atlanta. You don't need Jalen Smith. Jalen gets paid. Don't, you know, no sympathy there. He gets paid. Good guy. Great story. The Cowboys are now out of the contract as of next year. In baseball, the Brooklyn Nets, the Angels with Albert Pujols, the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie. One of the things I always feel bad for fans is when you get trapped into these bad contracts, especially in basketball, you know, it's a salary cap league, and you're just trapped. Right now, you start looking at certain baseball teams, and you're like, man, you got 9 years to pay a guy, and he's already hit his peak. In football, this is why you can name the really, really bad contracts in the NFL on one hand. There's almost none of them. You get rid of Brady today. Be no cap hit, seriously, in a year. And that's the first part of it. This is good for the league. And Jalen Smith, good kid, great story. Jerry fell in love with him, 30-minute press conference. But he was no longer needed. They had a log jam at corner or at linebacker. But this is another reason I like this. Because I have been complaining about the Cowboys for several years. The one thing that guarantees you will not win a Super Bowl in any salary cap league is paying great money to good players. I'm all for paying LeBron and Brady and Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, everything the market offers. But do it infrequently and do it with great discretion. But this move is very interesting because it's coupled with a couple other things. So now this morning, by getting rid of this contract, who do the Cowboys pay big money for? Their quarterback, you should. A star receiver, you should. A pass rusher, DeMarcus Lawrence, you should. And their offensive line. Well, you want to protect your asset with Dak. Now, are they overpaying for Zeke? Yes, but because they pay Tony Pollard nothing, the backup, the unit as a whole is reasonable. But here's the other thing. By hitting a home run with Micah Parsons in the draft and hitting a home run last year with Trayvon Diggs at corner, now the Cowboys are not overpaying for any of their linebackers. In fact, their linebacker unit this morning is almost a bargain. Their secondary, Byron Jones, gone a couple of years. They've got a star. It's almost a bargain. Not paying any of their safeties. Dallas this morning is overpaying a running back. But if you look in the NFL at the positions you should pay, quarterback, O-line, star receiver, pass rusher. So the combination of moving off Jalen Smith, he gets paid. No pity party, great kid, he gets paid. The Cowboys get rid of a bad contract, and now because they've hit two home runs in the draft, both their secondary and linebacker units. My. It's almost like they're getting a deal. That's incredibly important to win Super Bowls. That you draft a Mahomes and you, for 3 years, don't pay him anything. You draft a Josh Allen and get a break for 3 years. That's how Goff gets to a Super Bowl. That's how the Cleveland Browns, because they haven't paid Baker yet, have this incredible O-line and receiving core and Myles Garrett, and they paid for a secondary. So this is a really big day for the Cowboys. They hit on two draft picks. They move off Jalen Smith. Now their books look like championship books. Okay, they're overpaying for a running back. You have a right to overpay for somebody. I mean, Sammy Watkins, good receiver. I swear to God, every team he's been on, he's been overpaid. He's been overpaid by four teams. But he's fast. He's good in the playoffs. You have a right to overpay for somebody. But it all of a sudden this morning, I look at the Cowboys and their structure, and I'm like, all right, that's the way to do it. You're getting a two or three of your stars you're not paying anything to. You're paying all the right positions and units. By the way, they also hit a home run with CeeDee Lamb. So now you got CeeDee Lamb, Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, way outperforming their contracts. That's how you win Super Bowls. You can't pay great money to good players and have no value. You've got to find some labor on the market that you're winning in a salary cap sport. Now they're winning with three different players, and they moved a bad contract. I think it's a very good day for the Cowboys. The books are much cleaner today. They look like a championship accounting set. That's the way the great ones do it. They're getting value on a lot of people so they can overpay for their quarterback or their left tackle. That's very exciting for them. The Herd, by the way, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. So this next story is, you know, I always had this theory. Smart people don't have a right to get conveniently dumb, right? Remember the Deflategate? I was always very suspicious of that. Bill Belichick has his fingers on the pulse of the whole franchise. Suddenly, when it came to footballs, no idea what's going on here. I don't even check the footballs. I was like, yeah. Suddenly, he was conveniently absent-minded. I was always a little, I don't know what happened with Deflategate. I mean, it's not a Brady thing, really. He's still great. But Aaron Rodgers is really smart. Really smart. He's one of those guys that, you know, he's manipulative and he can see around corners. He's a very smart guy. So in the last couple of weeks, he's made comments. They played the Steelers before they played the Steelers, after they played the Steelers. He talked about Mike Tomlin. And let's not go crazy here, but Aaron is too smart to conveniently suddenly become very casual with his love fest with Pittsburgh. He was on the Pat McAfee show, our friend Pat McAfee. Here's what he said.
I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan. I have been for a long time. I like the way that he speaks about his team. I like the way that he goes about his business. You know, I like his confidence. I've heard nothing but good things from guys that have played there. I like Mike Tomlin. Look, I'm just speaking the truth. They asked me a question about Mike Tomlin. I'm going to tell them how I feel about Mike Tomlin. If you want to take that and run with it and say I'm, you know, angling for, you know, some sort of next team or something. I'm not. I'm just answering a question about my respect for Mike and what he's accomplished in the league.
By the way, Pat was not drinking apple juice there. So here's my point. Aaron knows what he's doing. So the Pittsburgh Steelers currently have three losses. Look at their schedule. I count at least nine more losses. This is going to be a bad team. Yeah, I'm sorry, but they're not going to beat Seattle. They're not going to beat Cleveland, at the Chargers, Baltimore, at Kansas City. They're not beating Cleveland this year. They're not beating Cleveland. Get over it. They're not beating Baltimore. Not happening. I'm not sure they're beating Cincinnati. I may give you that one. But this is very interesting. So combine that with the fact that, oh, Baltimore appears to have a star quarterback who can throw. Oh, Joe Burrow's really good and has star receivers and only getting better. Oh, Cleveland's got a really good head coach and a great O-line and a really sharp GM and a franchise quarterback they mostly love. Pittsburgh is staring at a hole for years. Don't forget, the Packers disappeared for a decade in the 80s before Favre. They disappeared. Disappeared. New England disappeared for years pre-Brady. The Giants have been doing a pretty good job the last 6 years of disappearing. This is not college football. You fire the coach, you get a new guy in, you got a big brand, you recruit a bunch of players. You don't get the quarterback right, you can disappear. So the division, the quarterbacks, you have at least two stars, and Baker probably remains in Cleveland. So you're going to, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, with that defense and Mike Tomlin, you're going to just roll the dice on a 50% hit rate first-round college quarterback.
Really?
You do remember how many quarterbacks you moved through between Bradshaw and Big Ben. About 12. This franchise has a history. They had Bradshaw, they had a bunch of guys, and then they hit Big Ben. And that's the only time they won Super Bowls. The Rooney family remembers very well that big gap between Bradshaw and Big Ben. How do you solve it? You don't go college. You go get Aaron Rodgers, who, unlike a college quarterback, doesn't have a 50% hit rate. He's got a 100% hit rate. What wins in sports in 2021? Aggressive. We've seen it with the Dodgers. We've seen it with the Lakers. We see it with everybody. Is Aaron's going to casually just throw it out there? Aaron Rodgers is way too smart to just throw it out there. He wants people to know, I like Tomlin. And by the way, players do. Mike's great. But if you think he's just throwing it out there, he's not throwing it out there with a lot of other coaches. He's not throwing it out there with, you know, Pete Carroll. They got a quarterback. They're not throwing it out there with Kansas City. I love Andy Reid. Well, they got a quarterback. He's throwing it out there with the one franchise with a great defense, great wide receiver talent, great ownership group, great GM, great scouting, who just happened to have a quarterback who should be in a rocking chair. Aaron Smart. You don't get to be conveniently silly and glib when you're as smart as Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, you know, and I know, Green Bay wants to get Aaron into the AFC. They don't want to have to face Aaron Rodgers again. They want him in the other place. So if they, that's why even Belichick traded Garoppolo to the NFC. And that's just Garoppolo. He didn't want a chance of Garoppolo to come back and beat him. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's Aaron's too smart. I never give smart guy, just Deflategate, balls. Who knows what happened? Be a break. Phil Jackson, and I love Phil Jackson, the coach of the Lakers, legendary coach. He used to do this all the time. Phil would rip officials. So anytime he lost a big playoff game, he would hammer on the officials, and it would be very subtle. And then they would fine him, and he would be like, well, what do you mean? I was just saying that Hugh Hollins, it seemed, it's like, no, Phil, the greatest living basketball coach, was doing his thing to manipulate officials in an off day. They read it in the paper. He'd argue about how they're grabbing Shaq and they're not giving him. And then the officials, the fans read it. They feel pressure. The fans are the game of manipulation. But Phil was too smart to conveniently act dumb. It was just a comment about an official. You're talking about it. Just keep your eye on Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. Perfect landing spot for him. It, by the way, if you're Pittsburgh, go ahead, draft a college quarterback from Liberty against Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, even Baker. All right, good luck. 50% hit rate. I'd rather go with 100% hit rate.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This is a story. Stephon Gilmore is a very talented corner for the New England Patriots. He'd had an injury. He's not in shape. He's not ready to play, but he's very talented, very experienced, two-time Pro Bowler, very smart. The Patriots have released him. It says they could trade him eventually without getting too wonky. He has value. Outside of the L.A. Rams, I think almost everybody in the league is looking for a corner. The Rams have Darius Williams and Jalen Ramsey, one being very expensive. They're pretty much set there. They don't have a ton of cap availability. But outside of that, a lot of people are going to kick the tires on this. Tampa, Seattle, to me, feels like a leader in the clubhouse. Almost everybody. There's so many good receivers now. We talk about this all the time. There's not many great corners. So, you know, Miami's got one. The Cowboys now have one. There's not a lot of great corners. The Rams have one. Somebody's going to want him. But what's interesting here is he was on a slight decline. The kind of decline Aaron Rodgers was on a couple years ago when they drafted Jordan Love, the kind of decline Eli Manning was on when they drafted Daniel Jones, the kind of decline Big Ben's been on for 5 years, the Steelers did not draft a successor. So this is very much on brand. They are not waving the white flag here. They are not surrendering the season. What I like about this for New England is somebody chasing a ring, keep your eye on Seattle, older coach, Pete Carroll, 70, wants to get another Super Bowl ring. He's got a national title. He's got a Super Bowl. He wants another one, right? The legacy guarantees Hall of Fame. I wouldn't be shocked if Seattle, they drafted a corner. He's not playing at all. Small kid out of Oklahoma, not ready to play in that division. Keep your eye on teams that are chasing a ring. There's five or six, Tampa, Seattle, Kansas City perhaps. They're in the Super Bowl window. Those are the teams to keep your eye on. But my other takeaway on this, it's a real smart move. Just because the Patriots are 8-12 since Tom left, they're not changing their identity. Their identity is Bill Belichick will not pay players for what they have done. He will pay players for what they're going to do. And it is the job of good front offices to notice those granular declines. Aaron for 3 years. That's why I defended Jordan Love as a pick. I don't think you should have drafted a running back with a second pick, nor given up picks to get Jordan Love. But this is what teams do that are smart. They don't radically change their ideas. Gilmore is now expensive and declining. The Patriots have been very good at drafting and developing secondary players, especially corners. This is a smart, thoughtful move by New England. It should not be viewed as a waving the white flag, even though they can't win home games now. It's not. This is what they've been doing for years.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to go to Nick Wright, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Now, before we get to the Bills-Chiefs game, which is just going to be really lopsided, let's forget that for a second.
I agree. Go ahead.
So I saw this morning. I think you and I are on the same page here. The Brooklyn Nets are a 72% chance, according to the NBA GM survey, to win the championship. And I'm like, they still have no rim protector. Two of their best players are always hurt. Kyrie's on his own spaceship. What is your take? I mean, I don't even understand. I mean, you and I think
we
are the
just
only
have to stop acting like we have to stop acting like the Nets have a big three. The Nets big three is an idea. It's something you can use in 2K. It's not something that existed last year in the regular season. It didn't exist in the postseason. It's the preseason, and it doesn't exist now. So Kyrie either will get vaxxed or he won't. If he doesn't get vaxxed, then I don't see how he can play at all. You can't have a guy who can't practice or play home games and be like, we'll see you on the road, though. So he's either on the team or he's not. But even if he's on the team, what makes you think he's actually on the team? Last year, he took paid time off mid-year just because, and then he did what he typically does, which is get hurt for the postseason. 2015, he wasn't available for the end of the postseason. 2018, 2020, 2021. So scratch him off the table. And then you have James Harden, one of the best regular season players ever, whose next great playoff moment will be his first. So then you have Kevin Durant, who's unquestionably one of the 15 greatest players in league history. However, he doesn't have a ton of experience of playoff success without another league MVP alongside him. The one time he had to play in the playoffs without Russell Westbrook and OKC, couldn't beat Zach Randolph and the Memphis Grizzlies, and last year they didn't get out of round two. So I get the idea of the Brooklyn Nets. They're like an NFT. It sounds good, but can you touch it? No. Like, so I don't understand how we're just going to be like, yeah, their third best player currently is not allowed in the building, and the NBA made a rule specifically designated to change the way their second best player plays, but I'm sure they're going to be fine. I don't think they're going to be fine.
By the way, just one more NBA topic, because the regular season starts here pretty quick. LeBron, by the GMs, voted kind of it's amazing, top five at three different positions, and I know that struck you at some point.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just fascinating. I mean, so LeBron's going into year 19, and the GMs of the league said he's one of the five best point guards and one of the five best small forwards and one of the five best power forwards. And if you, so Kobe probably had the best year 19 of any player. He played 35 games and averaged 22 points. Duncan, it was his final year, he was 8 points a game. Karl Malone, it was his one Lakers year, he was 14 points a game. Kareem was around the same. It was his second last year. Meanwhile, LeBron in year 19 is considered a top five guy at three of the five positions on the court. It is, and I don't want to get into the Jordan, LeBron, Kareem debate, but it is why, when it is all said and done, and people look at this years down the road, they are going to say, How did people even ever argue about this? When Michael Jordan was 5 years removed from his last game, LeBron was a top five guy at three different spots. So, yeah, I mean, I'm bullish on LeBron this season, and I think the NBA GMs are as well. That we agree on. We disagree, though, on, I think, everything football-related, but I just I chalk that up to you probably taking too much cold medicine this week because you can't really believe what you've been saying.
Okay, so let's pivot to Nick's NFL tiers, where he remains, despite the fact that the Chiefs are 31st in, like, almost every defensive category. They are a spectacular offensive team, and great offenses are always around at the end of the season. This is not the 70s or 80s. The Chiefs have led in 65 straight games. They'll be around. That is not the question. The question is, will Mahomes often be a spectator at times against the better teams he'll face? So your NFL tiers, let's go to it. Let's tell people your tiers and where you're at this morning.
Well, yeah, listen, I have the Chiefs as the favorite, and I know it puts me in the drastic minority. It's just me and literally every sports book in Vegas and our friends at Fox Bet. They also have the Chiefs as the favorite. Where you won't see on there is your beloved Denver Broncos, who I believe as of last week you had as the fourth best team in football.
Yeah.
And I bring up the Broncos not to needle you, but because you are making the exact mistake with the Bills you made with the Broncos. You're like, oh my God, the Bills. The Bills, have you seen them the last few weeks? Colin, how many teams in the league do you think would be 3-1 or better if they had gone up against Big Ben, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, and Davis Mills? Those are the four quarterbacks the Buffalo Bills have faced. The idea that you are not building into your math on how good the Bills are, the fact that they have played nothing but dreadful teams, is insane to me.
All right.
The Chiefs, meanwhile, yes, they have lost. They played the Ravens to the final moment. The Browns, they beat. They played the Chargers to the final moment. And now they play the Bills. They're going to have a tough schedule. That's fine. But what makes you think that Buffalo can go to Kansas City and win? Well, what makes you think that?
Because,
what's the evidence of
because
it?
Buffalo's better than the Chargers, and the Chargers did it. Yeah, that's pretty
simple. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and the Chiefs are better than the Steelers. So then I guess it's not the transitive property does not apply in sports, and you know this. There are one-off events. However, I do believe the Bills will win if the Chiefs turn the ball over on their first three possessions like they did with the Chargers. But nobody thinks they're going to do that. And by the way, America, because Colin Coward won't tell you this, he's too busy slandering my guy Baker Mayfield and other things. But somebody on this wonderful Herd production staff put up on the screen at some point today Josh Allen's stats this season next to basically any other quarterback. Because he's looking up in the standings of passer rating at the likes of Daniel Jones and Taylor Heineke. He's 27th in the league in completion percentage. The Bills up to this point in the season are winning despite Josh Allen regressing back to rookie or second year Josh Allen. That's a statistical fact. Nobody wants to tell you about it on this show, which is why I'm here to speak true, hard, emotionless facts to Colin Cowherd.
That was a pretty good argument. Okay, so I said this earlier. When you're smart, you don't get to conveniently be glib, absent-minded, forgetful, like Belichick Deflategate. Yeah, I don't know what's happening to the footballs. You know literally everything with the organization. Phil Jackson years ago would needle the refs in between games, get fined, and go, it's just a random comment. I mean, you can't talk about officials? No, Phil, everybody knows that. Aaron Rodgers is really smart. There's a term called in business, the ability to see around corners. He's very smart. He knows the only time he won a Super Bowl, he had his best defense. Peyton Manning's only Indianapolis Super Bowl, he had his best defense. Russell Wilson's only Super Bowl, his best defense. Tom Brady majority of Super Bowls with his best defense. Aaron looks at Mike Tomlin and that defensive team in Pittsburgh, and he knows the Packers, if they'd move him, would move him over to the AFC, and he knows, he knows, oh, hell, I could inherit Mike Tomlin's defense, the Rooneys. Great GM. I'm not saying
everything about it.
I'm not saying it's happening, but let's not be ridiculous and don't think Aaron at least is putting the seed out there, right?
Why don't we say it's happening? Why is it not happening? What's Pittsburgh's other option? You're totally right that Green Bay does not want to trade him within the conference. So just scratch off 15 teams.
Right.
And then in the AFC, it's a very short list of teams that don't either have their quarterback established or have just drafted one, like Jacksonville or Cincinnati or the Jets. So it's like Miami, Pittsburgh, and the Colts, I guess. That's almost the entire list. So, I think on this one, you have totally redeemed your otherwise really shaky NFL takes today. I think this is spot on. I think him winking at Tomlin was not subtle. This is like, you know, this is the couple that's in marriage counseling and the guy is actively flirting with the counselor. It's like, okay, like we're still together though, buddy. So, yeah, I mean, this is... To me, this is not a crazy Colin theory. I think that if you had, I mean, look at that. They damn near look in love. I mean, and I don't blame Tomlin, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, Tomlin's like, I remember when I looked at Big Ben like that, but not anymore. And so, yeah, I think this is the likeliest outcome. Yeah. If Aaron Rodgers is not on the Packers next year, what is the most likely destination? I think it's Pittsburgh. And by the way, if they had Aaron Rodgers right now, they would be one of the three best teams in the NFL.
Yes, yes.
That coach, that defense, yep. Those receivers, yep. They just unfortunately have a quarterback that is done. So, yeah, I think it's a great fit. I think this is absolutely correct.
All right, I redeem myself. Nick, it's a pleasure to see you, my man. As always, brilliant work. Nick Wright, First Things First. Thanks, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
It is amazing to watch the standard of New York sports has circled the drain for about a decade. New York sports fans got fired up because the Knicks just made the playoffs in the weaker Eastern Conference, that the Mets had a decent first half, that the Yankees almost were special. The Jets and the Giants both won last weekend. First time in 2 years it's happened and everybody freaked out. The standard for sports in New York is just dropped. Conversely, everything in L.A. is good. Both are NBA teams. Both are NFL teams. Shohei Ohtani is going to win MVP. Dodgers are going to win. Do they play tonight? They'll win tonight. They'll get into the playoffs. It's just different. Maybe it's the sun. I don't know. But everything in New York's a mess. I will say this. The Yankees lost last night to the Red Sox. Not shocking. Gerrit Cole had struggled. They paid him a fortune. He had struggled in September. He struggled at Fenway. The Yankees hit for power. They do almost nothing else well. They're a totally uneven baseball team. The Dodgers are in a wild card because nobody's ever healthy. Mookie Betts was hurt. Bellinger was hurt. Walker Buehler. Everybody's been on the DL. Everybody's been hurt. The Yankees, it wasn't an injury thing. They're not very good. They've overpaid for Giancarlo Stanton. Gerrit Cole's good. He wasn't spectacular. But the one New York team I will defend, and let's just go to the data, that I actually, because the Brooklyn Nets now are a mess, and the Knicks aren't talented enough to do anything, and the Mets aren't going anywhere, and the Yankees have to rebuild some stuff. They really do. The New York Giants I'll defend. I defended them last week. I said last week it's easy to like the Packers. It's easy to like Kansas City. It's easy to like great. Nobody pushes back on Twitter. Go find a team that everybody thinks is bad and, you know, circle the wagons on them. And I said last week, the Giants are going to go to New Orleans and they're going to beat the Saints. I said, this team I like. Now, I don't think they're great yet, but I'm going to defend the New York Giants because the Jets aren't even close to being competitive against good teams. Forget the Tennessee win, please. All the sharps were on that. The Giants do three things well. Number one, Daniel Jones isn't the problem. He has cut down on his turnovers. He's big, he's strong, he's semi-athletic. He's crossed a threshold. The turnovers, the interceptions are gone. I watched almost the entire game with the Saints. He is not the problem. You have your quarterback. He ain't Kyler Murray, but there's not a lot of those out there. Number two, Joe Judge. He has coached 20 games for the New York Giants. 20! He's been blown out once. And that's in a rebuild with a young quarterback. Well, the division. I'm not talking division. Last year, They played Seattle and the Rams tight. They've been blown out once in 20 games. So it's a quarterback coach league. I think Daniel Jones is good enough to win, and Joe Judge is good. The other thing is Dave Gettleman is their general manager. His personality's a little odd. It can be a little off-putting. He's a little cocky. Whatever. I'm not going to judge him on that. You can rip Dave Gettleman, but I want to defend Dave Gettleman here because I've been critical of him. In an offensive league, he has been able to land Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay, who's now starting to play well, Darius Slayton, a very good receiver, Kadarius Toney, an excellent draft pick out of Florida, who is crazy, crazy electric, and their left tackle, it looked like he was going to be a bit of a mess, Andrew Thomas, their left tackle. And everybody said last year that was a bad draft pick. Last couple of games, not just quarterbacks, it takes everybody a year to get this thing figured out. It looks like Thomas can play. It looks like he can pass block at least. He can play. So in an offensive league, they got a quarterback, a left tackle, several good receivers, a star running back. I think the Giants are a real team. Now, this week, they may be facing the most underrated team in the league, the Dallas Cowboys. So that's not a perfect matchup in Dallas. But all these New York teams are a lot of hype and a lot of nonsense. The Giants I buy into, they've got the right pieces. I think their GM's a little crazy, but you can look at his cupboard. It's full of good stuff.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
To the delight of Joy Taylor, Matt Nagy has announced that Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback this week. So it's in a bit of irony, or maybe coincidence, not irony. I talked to former Bears coach Mark Trestman last night. I had a 30-minute conversation. Fascinating. It's on my little podcast network. Really interesting guy. So he was the best coach in Canadian Football League history. He was with Gruden during the Rich Gannon MVP years. Coached the Bears a couple years. Mark's very, very savvy. And listen to him talk quarterbacks. It's like a language. He'd use terms I'd never even heard before. And you should listen to it. But he had talked about Justin Fields, and he talks about all these young quarterbacks. Some he's not high on, some he is, but he said with Justin Fields, and it was really interesting because he and Matt Nagy know each other. And he said, it's time to play Justin Fields. He said, there's a lot of things I'm seeing that I really, really like, and he's getting through them every week. And so Matt Nagy this morning, probably just listened to the podcast, said, I got to start him. And he's starting him. But he really liked Justin Fields. And he wasn't saying it because he used to coach Chicago. They fired him. There was no reason that he had to show any love. But he kept saying, there's just a lot of components here with Justin Fields I really like. And I think it's time to go now. It's time. And by the way, he's not one of these that believes everybody has to start when they're young. There's some guys that just aren't ready. They're careless. Zach Wilson, by the way, he's careless with a football. Justin Fields is going to start. And I would say this, I don't see him as a playoff team, but I think the primary issue with this team, my concern is I don't like this offensive line at all. I do think they have a star receiver. I like their back. They have a young tight end I like. They've drafted the linebacking position pretty well. I still think this organization can't figure out the cap. I mean, they're not paying their quarterbacks, and they had to let Kyle Fuller go a corner. How the hell does that work? If you're not paying your quarterback, I mean, good God, the Rams are still paying Jared Goff and Matt Stafford, and they can afford Aaron Donald, Robert Woods, Jalen Ramsey. So the front office worries me with this franchise. I really like Matt Nagy, and I think Justin Fields is a kid. It's going to be bumpy. There's going to be a lot of turbulence, but this is probably the time to do it now. So give him the franchise. Let's go. And I will say this. When your offensive line is not good, and let's just say in Chicago it's a work in progress, you're probably better off with more juice at quarterback, and Justin Fields can move, and Dalton can't, and Nick Foles can't. So the reality is when the weakness of your team is protecting the quarterback, you're probably better off this morning having a quarterback that can run, because whoever's quarterback in this team is going to be on the run. Now, he still is a quarterback who doesn't pick up a lot of hot rushers. He doesn't. He's young. He doesn't see it. We've seen him almost get a head taken off a couple times. He's not there yet, but it's probably time to do it. And it's fun. This is a great sports city. He's a lively athlete. This is the year to make a bunch of mistakes. It's just make a bunch of mistakes. I hope, I will say this though, I know y'all want to run Matt Nagy out of town. Do you want Justin Fields to have a new coach, a new coordinator, and a new playbook next year? Don't go to Twitter, which isn't real life to begin with, and crush them when they have bad series. This is the reality. This is going to be a really turbulent flight. We're talking winter, and you're landing in O'Hare, and there's a storm coming in. It's going to be really turbulent. So understand that. Understand that you want Matt Nagy fired. The worst thing you can give a young quarterback in year two, new playbook, new coach, new this, new that. All these guys that are succeeding, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, who was terrible his first year. Look at all the quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, what have they had? No chaos. Firing a coach is chaos. And none of these young guys, in my opinion, can overcome it unless you're Andrew Luck and it forced him out of the game.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So there was just a move made on Stephon Gilmore, and it's a very telling move. So the Carolina Panthers last week gave up a third-round pick to get a corner, C.J. Henderson, because they drafted a corner, J.C. Horn, and he broke his foot. Now, nobody knows if he's going to play this year. They just gave up a sixth-round pick to get Stephon Gilmore. Now, Gilmore's out of shape, not in game shape, not ready to play. He'll be ready to play November. It's very interesting, though. It's a bad year in the upcoming draft for corners. There's one great one, Derek Stingley for LSU. He just broke his foot, and his tape's not been good this year. He was better last year. So, it's not a good year for corners. That's an area of need. So now they drafted J.C. Horn. They have Stephon Gilmore. They have C.J. Henderson. This defense is now elite. You could argue they could get a defensive tackle next year for more depth, but they don't need any help. The Carolina Panthers have a championship defense. And what they're telling you by doing this, they think they can win now. And they think Gilmore late in the year can match up if they have to face the Buccaneers and all those receivers. Carolina is telling you this rebuild is going faster than they think. They have just finished their defense. Next year, they're going to go get an interior offensive lineman. It's a great year for guards and centers in the draft. They could go in free agency. This is interesting. So just look at what they're doing. They're giving up good draft picks to get corners. They think that's the missing piece. Sam Darnold's working. They can score enough. And they probably played the Cowboys and said, we're not good enough at corner. We're just not good enough at that position because they're really good in the front seven. So that's interesting stuff.